I want to share with you something on my heart this morning. Of course, last week we talked about the scariest place on earth. The scariest place on earth. And we used the scripture out of the book of Hebrews, actually, chapter 10, verse 26 through 31. And especially verse 26, 29, and 31, we really used it a lot. But we found out that the scariest place on earth is when we reject the work of Christ. It's nothing no more scarier. When we willfully choose or willfully go away for Christ or willfully sin and trodden underfoot, willfully, the work of Christ. The work of Christ. Trodden underfoot, the blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant. That which he sanctifies the unholy. See, that's what we are. That's what the blood of the covenant's for. It's to sanctify the unholy. And do despite the spirit of grace. And then he finished that in verse 31 by, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And that is the scariest place on earth to me. To be in that place. Well, you know me, nothing's usually done when you think it's done. And I had this sequel, part two, you might say, on a different realm, a different subject, kind of a sequel in another way. And I really I was going to call this the scariest place on earth, part two, but I don't really think that's necessary. I just want to call it another scary place, and the title really is At the Edge of Risk. At the Edge of Risk. And that's really what I want to bring to your thought this morning. And I want to look at this little portion. We're not going to read this whole story. This is actually a long teaching by Christ. It's not real long. It's from verse 14 to verse 30. But I want to jump in about halfway through, and then I'll share, go back and fill in the missing part. But it's really the only relevant part that I really want to deal with for what the Lord put on my heart. It starts with Matthew 25 and verse 24. Let's stand. We'll read this. We'll pray over it. We'll believe the Lord. And, of course, I'll fill you in up to this point. But anyway, here's the story, the teaching about the parable of the talents. When Jesus ushered out, give out talent, to give out, remember, 10 and 5. And we'll fill that back in a minute. But this is the guy that got one. This is the guy that got one. Then he which had the one talent. And they're all now giving an account. They're giving an account. The guy that had 10 did. The guy that had 5 did. They're all giving an account. Here comes the guy with one. He said, and he that had one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25, and I was afraid. Somebody say afraid. Afraid. I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. It's there. That's where it's at. I've not done anything with it. I've not done a thing with it. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanger. Should have done something with this opportunity. How many know you should do something with your opportunity? Should have done something with it. And then at my coming, how many know he is coming? And that's really what's going to make all this relevant, ain't it? Right now, it might not make a big deal. It's like when I was 10, or however old you are when you're in second grade, and I used to forget my ice cream money. It wasn't a big deal till ice cream time. But when it come ice cream time, it was a big deal. I had forgotten my dime. Can you believe you used to get ice cream for a dime? Amen. But the big deal was then. And then I got to sit there and look at everybody else eat their ice. It's going to be worse, though. I want you to hear easy. When he comes, this is going to be a big deal then. I should have received my own with interest, he said. Verse 28. Take therefore the one, the talent from him, and give it to him that's got the 10. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. For him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant. The unprofitable, the one who didn't cash in on the opportunity. Cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Let's pray over this. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for our time together. I pray that you'll bless your word. Lord, use it for instruction this morning. Use it to help bring edification into our life and to quicken us, dear God. Quicken us as servants, and that there be none in this place unprofitable, but that everyone in this place will hear what the others heard, that well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful over a few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Lord, make us all that kind of servant today. Use this word. Strengthen it, Lord, through your spirit. Strengthen it through the faith of the people, Lord. Let us rise up from this place today, Lord, and able to take the risk on, head on, dear God, for your great glory and your namesake. We'll love you. We'll praise you. We'll honor you. All the glory is yours, Lord. All of it always is. And we just want to give it all to you, Lord, and hide behind you. And it's all in your namesake. In the name of our Lord, our Savior, who is coming again, in his wonderful name, Jesus Christ. And all the church said, amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's bless his name. Let's honor him this morning. Hey, we thank you. Amen. 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 This scary place evolves from an unprofitable servant. And the story, like I said, I picked it up in the middle because I didn't see the point in really just reading all that, although I'll rehash this a little. There's really one important verse at the very beginning of this story, back in verse 14. Just put that on there so they can see that. But this is how that story begins. Verse 14, Jesus begins, he's teaching, and he begins this story with this thought here: the kingdom of heaven is as. And that's important, always been important to me. Every time I've ever seen something like that or hear that, I really latch on to it, and I try to glean it, and I mash it, and I try to jerk the juice, every bit of the juice I love it that I can. Because anytime I hear somebody say, this is what the heaven's like, or this is what it takes to get to heaven, or especially my Savior when he's teaching on, and he's the one that knows what heaven is. He's the one that knows as it is. How many know he's the one that knows what it's going to take to get there? I see something like that, I really pay close attention, and I try to draw from it all I can. But Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a country, and he calls his servants, his own servants, and he delivers goods. And I'm going to use the word opportunity a lot in this message, because that's really how I see the talents, and that's how I see the goods that he delivers. It's opportunity that he gives to mankind. It's opportunity that he gives to us as servants. It's opportunity. If ain't nothing else we got, we might be the poorest poor man in the whole world. But if God gives you an opportunity, just one opportunity, one good, glory to God. If he just gives you one opportunity, that could be the door to the richest of anything you've ever seen. And I'm not talking about materially either. I'm talking about spiritual. But he said, this is how the kingdom of God is like. This is what it's like. This is what heaven's like. And he begins to share the story with those he's teaching. And he talks about giving 10 talents to the first one. In the story, and he gives them 10. And how many know God gives us opportunities as his will, as he sees fit? It ain't up to me. It ain't up to man. It ain't up to me to sit around and say, well, Scott got to do that 3 times. Or Danny got to do it 7 times. Or how does Mark get to always do that? Well, that's just God. That's just God. That's God putting his hand. That's God using people. That's just God. He gives the opportunity. Well, I sure would have liked to started a mission work in Alaska. Well, he didn't give you the opportunity. and I'm really lying, because I really wouldn't want to go to Alaska to start a mission work either, because I'm such a homebody. Hey, if you ever hear Elise Arbor went off to the mission field to live the rest of his life, you'll know it's God. You'll know it's God for sure. For sure. because I'm such a homebody, and he's allowed me. I thank the Lord for the opportunity he's allowed me to be at home. I really do, because it does fit my demeanor. But now, should he call? I'm sorry, Cindy. I'm going to come in like Abraham one day. And I'm going to say, God says, we need to go over here. She's going to say, where's over here? And I'll be like, Abraham, I don't know. We'll do something. But he give 10 to one and he give 5 to another. And in the story, the Bible says that when he returns, just like we know he will, just like he's give some of you many opportunities, some fewer, but everybody got one opportunity. When he returned, they had to give an account for it. And one with 10 said, look here, I have turned this in. This I have cashed in on what you've allowed me to do. I've really cashed in. And it was more so. It had magnified, multiplied. And the same with the guy with 5. And, of course, that's where that great, that what even I prayed this morning for you, that's where that great word comes, where he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful over a few opportunities. Woo! You've been faithful over a few. I'm going to make you rule. I'm going to give you much more. Where much is given. Yeah. And because of that, now enter into the joy of the Lord. I just love that. And we picked up the story with them being congratulated, them being honored, them being called profitable servants, faithful. I think that would be an honor for anyone just to someone say that you're faithful. You're faithful. There's no greater word. You're faithful. You're faithful. And we pick up the story. We pick up the story this morning, and we run into a man who was known then as the guy that got one. He got one opportunity. He got this one talent. But God had met him and he'd give him one. One. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that he didn't do anything with it. Nothing at all. Whatever it was that God afforded him, whatever opportunity, he did nothing. And the Bible says this. That when he come to give an account for it, he come to give an account for it before the Lord. He said these words. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid. And here's what I realized about that. You know, I understand it. I kind of get, you get it. Maybe you get a sense of that. With every God-given opportunity, I feel the risk. Do you feel that you ever felt the risk? Every time God, I don't care. Even if before you got saved, do you remember when God would come convicting? With that spirit that he convicts with great grace with, and he convicted, and he would urge you to remember to come to him. He would urge you that, yes, you can't do it by yourself, but you can do it with me, and he would urge you. But it felt so risky, didn't it? That was the big, I remember that was one of my battles, because I was such a sinner. I had so many habits. I had so many downfalls. Had so many shortcomings. Had so many things in my life that I knew were out of order and would not mesh with a walk with God. And I remember sitting there that day that I even actually finally surrendered. It was so risky. It was an opportunity that I felt it. It's an opportunity to be saved. It's an opportunity to be delivered. It was an opportunity for all my sins to be covered. It was an opportunity to begin a new life, become a new creature, to be born again. But it was risky, I thought. And everything since then has felt that way at times. At times when God would come and he would offer opportunity. From that day on, every moment, and I guess I'm not alone, but when God's afforded you opportunity, you felt at the edge of it, you get there, and it feels risky. I especially felt that when the Lord called me to preach. I especially felt that because I hadn't even mentioned this to my wife, and y'all know that story. You know that story. I said, I can't even tell my wife because she's going to giggle. I was giggling. I felt like Sarah. I felt like the Lord had met me at the tent and had told me, I had overheard him telling somebody, hey, I'm going to call that Lisa Arbor to preach. And I was like, that's so funny. I did. I felt that way for who I was and where I was even at that time. I had not read the entirety of the Bible that time. I had not studied great doctrine. Matter of fact, I only really knew a handful of things. It was crazy. A handful at that, and I didn't even have them straight all the time. And the Lord meets me and says, he's going to call me. Remember, that's when I told you, that's when I had that experience at the mailbox. Remember, I was at the mailbox, and the Lord called me to preach at my mailbox. And I told him, y'all remember the story, I told him, sitting there at my mailbox, there is a preacher about a mile down the road. And I told him, I said, you got the wrong address, Lord. He's right down there. John Abbott, that's his name. I said, he's a mile down the road. You got the wrong mailbox. Because, boy, I felt the risk. So challenging. So risky. And everything since then, every opportunity, the opportunity to speak to the lost, to do missions, to have friends that are not churchy, to have friends that are not saved, to have friends that are not like you, and to have the mission to bring Christ, to bring the gospel to them. That's so risky. Oh, it's a setup, ain't it? You're setting us up. I feel it, preacher. But it's true. The mission is risky. I think that's why we fail at it so bad. So risky. And we're given so many opportunities at work and at Walmart and at the neighborhood and at the ball game and at the Pizza Hut and at Cracker Barrel and at the doctor's office. And opportunity after opportunity. But it's risky. Don't we feel that? Boy, you almost want to sympathize with the unprofitable servant, don't you? Especially when you go talking about things like that, like mission or the lost or me stepping out of my risky. So I understand that. But with every opportunity that God gives us, there's risk. There's risk. The Bible's full of it. The three Hebrew children. Risk. Esther, if I pass. Risk. David. He just carrying lunch to his brothers one day. That's all. Remember his daddy sacked him up some corn and cheese. Said, go take this lunch to your brothers on the battlefield. I preached that one time, remember, about toting the cheese. Preached a lot, ain't I? But he went toting the cheese that day, and there he stood on the battlefield hearing the calls of God. The Philistines, you know, mocking God, and that's when we get that great statement, is there not a cause? But what risk? He don't seem to show any, but I know it was there. With the big giant standing at the other end. Risk. And a little teenager soaking wet, 90 pounds or what, 150 pounds, whatever. Risk with every opportunity. But I want you to think about that. I want you to think about this. Here's what I've learned. If God's calling us, if God's given us the opportunity, if it's a true cause of God, there's not really any risk at all. There is hardly any risk. If God's calling you here this morning to come to him, even for salvation, there's no risk. Or to some calling, or to some work, or to some ministry, or to the lost, to the missions, whatever. It's not really risk. I learned something. Through God's calling me, and even through him healing my body, 24 or 5 years ago, whatever it was now, I learned something. I've learned this. That's why it's not a risk. Sometimes it's still a little scary. Yeah, it is, ain't it? I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I had to go, oh, it's a little scary, and then you have to suck it up, buttercup. If you got faith, if you're going to walk with God, because I've learned, if you don't do what the next opportunity is, you don't get to skip it and go on. You just got to keep going back till you get that opportunity right. You don't get to skip to ahead. I'm just going to go to the next level. No, no, no. But here's what I've learned. Here's what I've learned. I've learned this, and you need to learn this too. You're indestructible till your work is done. You didn't hear me. Y'all, you didn't hear me. You're indestructible till your work is done. You are indestructible till your work is done. No wonder the psalmist said, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. He knew. He knew I'm indestructible till I'm done. And then when I'm done, I shall die and go be with him. If you're a servant of his. That's why Psalms, that's why I've always, how many love Psalm 91? That's just such a sweet. I picked out about 3 or 4 verses I wanted to read. Listen, this is why I know you're indestructible, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge. He is even my most high habitation. He's my high habitation. Go on to verse 10. There shall be no evil befall me. There shall not any plague come nigh thy dwelling. There ain't no risk. He shall give his angels charge over thee, keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, and shalt trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I'll satisfy and show him my salvation. Indestructible till my work is done. So it's really not the risk. There's really not the risk. Now I know in the age that we live, that's for sure. In this age, the price of being a real Christian is going up. It is. But there's still no risk. The eternal. In the eternal, there's no risk whatsoever. I like how this story pans out. I spent all that time to preach that because that's what the unprofitable servant said. He said, I'm afraid. That's what he said. That's what we say a lot. Well, I'm afraid. But you know, Jesus didn't, and I know it's a certain amount of fear, but Jesus didn't even respond to the fear. Jesus seems, how many know Jesus can dissect even what we say is our problem? You ever said something's your problem, that's not really your problem? You ever do that? Somebody say, well, what's wrong? And you tell them about, you know, something at work or something here or something you're going through or some kind of disposition or whatever's happening. And that's not even the real thing. That's just a cover story. Cover. I'm just covering here. Sounds good. And we can all identify. I was afraid. We all identify with that. Well, sure, I understand. It's all right. You know, but Jesus, he don't even go there, does he? He doesn't even begin to even acknowledge, although I know he heard it. The unprofitable servant said, I was afraid. But Jesus, go to, I think it's verse 25, Dusty. Verse 25. Jesus, he says, I was afraid and I hid the talent. Now go to verse 26. That's what the unprofitable servant. And the Lord said, Jesus said unto him, listen what he said. He said, oh, no, no, it's not that you're afraid. He calls it like this. He says, oh, no, it was wickedness and sloth. wickedness and sloth. Now, this word wicked, at first I thought it's a character flaw. He's wicked at his being. He's wicked at the core. You know, it's a character issue. But that's not what this word in the Greek, and I know y'all laugh at me when I try to speak Greek because I can't even speak English. But it's a word that means paros or peros or something like that. It's P-E-R-O-S with some funny little marks. Yeah, my Lord, I've got me a great, praise God, I've been looking for a Greek scholar all my life. Because I can't speak English, I'm going to start speaking Greek. Say that again. Pero. 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 I love it. Well, it's a word. It doesn't mean an evil character or an evil nature, the inner part, or coming from within. No, it means really being influenced by evil. Jesus said, it's not really fear that's your problem, or it may be a part of it, but here's the deal. You're being influenced by evil. That's why you ain't do nothing with the opportunity. He said, that's why you didn't jump. That's why you didn't cash in. Because you're being evilly influenced. Whatever fashion, who knows what, ever knows how. How many know sometimes we miss the opportunity? We don't cash in because sometimes we are evilly influenced. I wonder how many people don't get saved because they're evilly influenced. How many people don't follow through in their walk with God or sanctification because of an evil influence? Become unprofitable servants. I mean, how many people don't fulfill their callings or their giftings or their talents because of being evilly influenced? Amen. And he goes on and said, it's this two-part thing. He says, here's your problem. You're being evilly influenced, but then this is the kicker. And he says, and you're slothful. I'm going to tell you what, nobody, and I mean not nobody, likes to be called lazy. I told the Lord when he gave me this, I said, they're going to hate me. Lazy. Now, the reason I'm bringing all this out is because we thought the scary place was at risk. When Jesus calls us with the opportunity and tells us to step up to the edge of risk. We think the opportunity is where the scary place is. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not even the scary place. I done proved it to you, because you'll get whatever's done until your work is done, and then you shall leave this world. The scary place is becoming an unprofitable servant. That's the scary thing up in this Walton PH church this morning. It's not the opportunity that God has been banging on your door with. That's not the scary thing. The scary thing is to leave this world unprofitable. That is the scary thing. That is the scary place. It's to be a servant that's called unprofitable, and it's because we've been influenced by the evil and a touch of lazy. And I'm not going to look at anybody when I say the word lazy. He said, I was afraid, Jesus. And Jesus said, oh no, it was a wicked influence and you're lazy. I'm sorry, Willie, I didn't mean to look at you. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, don't nobody like that word. Amen. So I got to thinking about all that. Think about this. How many times, and I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to show you in just a minute. But how many times does being afraid and lazy or slothful, that they mesh together? A lot of times being lazy looks like being afraid. A lot of times being afraid looks like being lazy. Sometimes it's hard to discern. Is he afraid or is he lazy? Yeah. Ain't that the truth? And this is important. If this is the scariest place to be, is to wind up unprofitable. So I've done a little Bible study for us, and in the next 10 minutes, I've got to do this quick Bible study. Because nobody would give me their hour. See, I thought surely somebody would give me their hour, and I would have an hour and 10 minutes left. But since nobody did, I've only got 10 minutes. Tommy said, don't anybody gives you him his hour, he's coming after you, so be afraid. He's not lazy. He says, I will find you. Amen. Amen. So I want to just do this little quick study here a minute. I want you to see some scriptures that I think will help you a bit. But here's what I want to do. I want us to be able to break through that. Break off that unprofitable servant. No matter what the issue is, but break through it. And it's really, I hate to say this, but it's really a Bible study on lazy. It's really what it is. Well, it looks like you'd have did that on Wednesday night, preacher. No. The Lord said this morning, after we done got our hour, and we're perky. So I want to read you a couple of scriptures this morning. One of the first things and places I want to start, I want to talk in Proverbs 14 and 23. Proverbs 14 and 23. I want you to see this. In all labor, there is profit. It's just it. In all labor. But talk of the lips tendeth or leadeth to only penury or poverty. I want you to hear that. In all labor is the work, the opportunity, whatever God puts before us. That's all profit. Anytime you step up to the edge of risk and cannonball, that's what I want to challenge you to do this morning, by the way. I want you to step up to the edge of whatever God's calling you to do and just cannonball. That's the best way I know to put it. Grab both knees and jump and squall like a wild Mohican. Cannonball, woo, into the risk, because it's really no risk at all. And not only that, but this work is profitable. It brings much profit, but just talk. All of this, just talk, leads to poverty. In other words, this morning, you need to start. You need to start somewhere this morning. Whatever the opportunity is, you need to start. I think we've spent so many church hours talking about it, thinking about it. Well, let's have 10 more meetings and then talk about it. Let's think about it some more. Oh no! Do you know what that leads to? Poverty. It's action. Now I know there's a time to talk about some things, but just talk. You know what? You know what I've come up with? When all we do is talk, you know what I equal that to? Spinning our wheels. We got to talk about it. We got to think about it. Spin our wheels. And I know what I'm talking about because I spun my wheels a lot. Spun my wheels. And you know what I've learned about spinning your wheels? You know what it causes? It causes a rut. And you know what I've learned about ruts? Ruts are hard to get out of. Ruts are terrible to get out of. I've seen an entire nation pull up to the biggest opportunity ever any human beings has ever had. God had escorted them from Egypt, had garment put upon them, had dressed them in riches, had dressed them in Egypt's wealth, had adorned them. They was rich slaves running out of Egypt and escorted them all the way through the Red Sea, rolled back the sea. Rolled it back, said this way, and walked them through under the rod of Moses, and they walked through to the other side and give them manna and give them what they needed and walked them right up to Jordan. Walked them right up to the Jordan. Walked them right up to the promised land. Opportunity. Opportunity. Walked them right up. And you know what? Somebody wanted to talk about it. Somebody wanted to, right there at the, God said, go in. Go in, yeah. Somebody wanted to talk about it. Well, let's send about 12 and go investigate this. Let's get a good board together or a good council. Let's go investigate this place. God said, go in. He didn't say investigate it. He didn't say think about it, talk about it. Oh, shidamasa. He said, go in. He said, pull right up to the edge. My God, he said, pull up to the edge. And cannonball. Whoa. Cannonball coming through. Well, glory. Jump in both feet. That's what he told them. But no, they had to investigate. They had to talk about it. And they come with this report, and this report, and this report, this report. You know what happened? Poverty. 40 years of poverty. 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years of death and trial and struggle. 40 years. Who am I preaching to in this house? You need to jump up to the edge of that this morning and cannonball. Woo! You ain't even got to yell. I'll yell for you. You run to the altar here in a little while, and I'll go, whoa! Amen. And they spun their wheels. And they spun their wheels. And they put themselves in such a rut, that there's 40 years of going round and round and round. I come to tell you this morning, if you're not going to be unprofitable, you need to start. You need to start. You need to jump. You need to take on the opportunity. Whatever it is, whatever it is. If it's salvation, my God in heaven, start. If it's sanctification, start. If it's ministry, start. If it's witnessing, if it's the mission, start. Quit talking about it. Hey, it's one of the things that's behind my whole heart on Sunday night is to go out and start. I've been preaching this now for a while, and I don't think we've started. We meet, and I'm not against meeting. I love church. But we do, think about it. We do 100-some services without Sunday night, for to start with, 100-some services. We join together and we talk about it. We think about it. But we never take time to start. That's what I'm saying. Start. So that's point two. Point two. Proverbs 12 and 27 gives us the second Bible study point. A slothful man, there's that word. A slothful man roasteth not that which he took honey. What do you think about that? He's a killer. He could go out and get him a deer. But he's so stinking lazy, he won't cook it. Won't skin it. Here's the thought. Not only do you start, but you got to finish. You got to finish. You got to be the man that does take a hold to whatever the opportunity is and see it through. Can I tell you something this morning? Holy Ghost led. Stop quitting. Stop quitting. Don't quit. Roast it, baby. Roast it. Cook it through. Cook it ever how God wants it. If God wants it well done, my God in heaven, give him well done. Well done. Amen. We got to finish. We got to finish the work. Gotta quit quitting on everything. Because we had a little opposition or we had a little trouble. We gotta finish the opportunity. Well, they don't like me. So what? They didn't call you. You're working for God. Amen. I've told 1,000 times the story of the man God sent me to, and he cussed me, and he cussed me, and he cussed me. And God kept sending me to him, and he cussed me, and he cussed me. And at first, he hated me. And I kept going to see him, and I kept going, and he cussed me more. And I went home one day, and I told Cindy. I said, Cindy, I ain't never going back to see that man again. I said, it. He cussed me good. And you know what Sandy did? Pretty much. She gave me that lease, Harvard. When she does that, I know I'm going to lose. I'm lost when she does that. I've done lost. I just will say, whatever you say, honey. She said, lease, Harvard, he needs you. And you got to go back. And you know the story. He got saved. Sat back there about where Forrest is for 4 or 5 more years after the Lord healed him and everything. Saved him, healed him, brought him to the Lord. Began to love me like ain't nobody ever loved me. Same man that cussed me, all of a sudden now he loves me. And that man's in heaven today. Hey, he's in heaven. You want to know why? Because I finished. I cooked it, baby. I cooked it. Cooked it. Well done. Well done. I know Brother Angle could tell thousands of stories of all the things he's had to finish. And he's finishing well too, by the way. Amen. Over and over. I know I got to hurry. I got to hurry. I don't like hurrying, but I got to hurry. Proverbs 22:13 and 26:13. Let me read it. This is the third point. Third point. The Bible says this, a slothful man, a lazy man, says it's what he says. He says, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. See, fear, being afraid, and lazy. Look a whole lot of light, don't they? Have y'all ever seen that? Look a whole lot of light. And then 26, about the same thing, the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. Oh, my. There's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Can I tell you my third point about not being unprofitable? Stop making excuses. Just stop. Stop. There's a lion in the way. I like what 2 Samuel verse 10, verse 12 says. Joab says this. There's an enemy on this side. There's an enemy on this side. There's enemy all around. And here's what he says. He says, be a good courage. You know, there's a good courage. It's not got false agendas. It's not got bad motives. But it's God-given opportunity. You're acting. I'm going to tell you right now. You can be of good courage this morning if you're acting on what God has put in your heart. I guarantee you that. Now, if you've got a false agenda, maybe you ought to be scared. If you're up to no good, if you're a weasel, if you're a wolf in sheep clothing, maybe you should be scared. No, I tell you what, you should be scared. You should be very scared. Very, very afraid. But if you've got a good motive, a good agenda, a right heart, even sometimes that you get it wrong. That's what I tell people. I said, I do. I get it wrong. I tell them I got it wrong, but I was trying my best. Every message I preach, I preach it the best I can. I might get it wrong. But I'm preaching the best I can with the right heart. For the right reasons. I said for the right reasons. Amen. I like it. Be of good courage, he says. Let us play. I like that. It's almost like make-believe. Sometimes we don't feel like men or women of Lord or men of valor or women of valor. Sometimes, so I like this. That's what it's saying. Sometimes you just got to pull it up, buttercup. Be who you are. Play the men for our people and for the cities of God. And now listen, and the Lord the Lord will do that which is seemeth good. He's in other words, let him walk through the door of opportunity and allow him to do the result. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That's really how I got saved. I finally just threw my hands up to the Lord that day, and I just told him, I said, you know all this about me. You know who I am. You know what all's wrong with me. You know the issues I'm going to have. You know what I'm going to have when I come to the altar. You know what I'm going to have when I leave. You know what I'm going to have to deal with the next day. You know. And you know what? I just left it. I said, it's all up to you. I'm just going to get saved, Lord, and just leave it all up to you. Hey! And the Lord does that seemeth good. So that's the third point. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Quickly, Proverbs 21. This is a short Bible study. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. This is a tough one. This is a hard. We've got to stop making excuses. Yeah. We got to do that. But then. We got to allow for the desires, we got to allow for the Lord to come and to remove and to touch and to take away those things how do you know pleasure actually becomes an idol? That's what I really want to say. You got to break the idols of pleasure if you're going to be a profitable servant. If you're going to break out of the unprofitable way, you got to break the idol of pleasure and of leisure and of all that comes with that. Destroy the idols. Amen. Destroy today. Shatter it today. Chapter 21, verse 25. That's what I want to give you. Chapter 21, verse 25. Listen, the desire of the slothful killeth him. For his hands refuse to labor. I want you to think about it. Look at that scripture. What an awesome scripture. Look, and here's what I want to tell you. Whatever opportunity God gives you, he's given it to you for a desire. Work for the desire. Work for the desire. Work for the desire. Work for the desires of your heart, for that's what keeps you alive. When God gives us opportunity, he's keeping us alive. Before the Lord put the call on my life, I felt like I just will die. But when God gave me the opportunity, that desire became the appetite that drove me. People die for this scripture right here. They die spiritually and sometimes even physically.
Yes, sir.
They do. Let me tell you how. Because either they die of two things, starvation and frustration. That's right. Because they get so frustrated because of life. Vanity of vanities. Nothing is worth nothing. Nothing. All is junk or whatever. And the very thing that would fuel them, the very thing that would drive them, they need to allow desire of your appetite, spiritually wise, to drive you. To give you the unction. Yes. And when we don't, it's so frustrating. Life is so frustrating without these God-given. So frustrating. There's nothing no more. And you starve. Starvation. Because his hand refuses. I refuse to even work in this. Well, you'll die of starvation then. And along the way, you're going to be frustrated every day of your life. Amen. Last one. I've tried to hurry, but I got to get to this one. I got to finish. And this is just the topper, really, for our age. Proverbs 26:16. I know I messed you up, Dusty, but I speed it through to try to get this 10-minute Bible study over an hour. the desire of the sloth. That's wait, go on to verse 26 and 16. You don't got no 26:16? Well, I'll just read it then. All right, well, let me see that. Maybe I'll give you wrong. Nope, that's not it. I didn't give it to you. It's my bad. My fault, Dusty. 26 and 16 in the book of Proverbs. You can even turn there if you want. We'll do it the old-fashioned way. Don't be lazy. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. He's got it too. I found it too. Here we go. The sluggard is wiser. Listen, the sluggard. Y'all know who a sluggard is, don't you? Huh? Do I need to define that? The sluggard, the lazy, the sloth, is wiser in his own conceit. I want you to think about that. His own conceit. Than seven men that can render a reason, or that seven men that can answer sensibly. It's all about we think we're wiser in our own, we're just wiser in our own eyes than we are. Think about that a minute. Because this leads to being unprofitable. When we see ourselves in a better way, and I'm going to tell you what, we Americans, especially in this end age, we think we're something that we're not. We have such a high opinion of ourselves. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Deceiving our own selves. Galatians 6. And there's an issue. This leaves us unprofitable. Because I get the feeling that this guy with the one was kind of like some of us, or kind of like Americans, kind of like this scripture here, that he thought, you know what, I ain't really got to fool with that. I ain't really got to deal with that. I know the Lord did this. I know the Lord, and I know the other ones are running around here, you know, working and toiling and struggling for God and all that. But you know what? I just don't really think. I mean, believe that we as a generation nowadays, we just believe it's because we inhale and we exhale. We just think we're good. We feel entitled. Just because I'm breathing. Just because I'm breathing. And anytime anybody challenges us to improve or to study or reproves us, that's why correction is almost impossible nowadays. Anything that we try to do, we try to suggest something. We tell somebody, you know, you should work on this, or you should try harder right here, or you need to listen to this. Or you should submit. My God, don't use the word submit. Not even in marriages. Some improvement. You know what? We think, I don't need that. It's like church, or church even. Church. I don't need church. I don't need that. I don't need, you know, me and Jesus, we got. I mean, I'm breathing. I'm special. Wiser in our own conceits. I'm going to tell you what, it ain't till we get a right view of ourselves. Do you hear that? It's not till we get a right view of ourselves that we really ever will become profitable. I don't really need to do that. I know they want everybody to stand and sing, but I ain't doing it. And I know that's simple, but it's just the mentality. I know everyone's supposed to get involved at this, go ye, the Great Commission. I understand that, but that's our age. And, you know, a church or a nation can get by with a few that consume more than they produce. But a church or a nation cannot last when there's more consuming than they are producing. Amen. You can vote on Tuesday. That's my political right there, ain't it? But it fits. It fits. Too wise in our own conceit. I know I got to close. I know I done said that, but Bible study over. Closing remarks coming. Man, the edge of opportunity. And I said all that because that's what hinders us from stepping into this opportunity a lot. Those things that I brung out this morning. You won't start. won't finish. If you do start, you won't finish. Or excuses. There's a line in the street. Well, I don't need to do that. That's a preacher's job. Or that's that crazy fanatic sits beside me's job. I ain't got time for all that. Like my neighbor who never read what James brought out this morning, Brent brought out this morning. It's like my neighbor who never read the Bible his whole life till he had 6 months to live. And all of a sudden, man, I got to read that Bible. And he did it with the right heart. He did it with the right heart. He got gloriously saved. But this morning, there's opportunity. You stand at it. Maybe it's deliverance. God been trying to deliver you? God been dealing with you about deliverance? Hard stuff? Remember what Brent told us this morning about something he had to be delivered of? It was something simple, but he had to be delivered. He's talking about in Sunday school. He just went to the altar. God delivered him. God works like that. He's a deliverer. Salvation. Joy. This kingdom. I just want to encourage you this morning. Come to the edge, John. This isn't what you got to be afraid of. The opportunity is not what you got to be afraid of. It's not jumping in to the opportunity that you need to be afraid of. It's not cannonballing in. It's not sailing in with both feet. Do what's necessary for the cause of God and just leave the rest to Him. Paul, where are you at? Amen. 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 Too scared to jump. Too scared to jump. Oh, no, you need to jump. Is there anything like that in your